AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Because in the end, it's not who you know, it's who you can't trust. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Welcome to Hidden Killers. I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we're diving into day 4 of the Richard Allen trial. As we move deeper into these proceedings, the trial has already laid out shocking new footage, emotionally charged testimonies, and questions about the reliability of confessions that could make or break this case. Today, the courtroom was alive with debate over whether the evidence truly points to Allen, or if investigators and prosecutors are chasing the wrong man. In an unsettling twist, prosecutors introduced a newly enhanced version of the infamous Bridge Guy video from Libby German's phone. This extended footage brings the jury closer to the moments before the girl's tragic end. But at the heart of the trial is a controversial confession. Richard Allen has confessed multiple times. But here's the haunting question. Can we trust those words, or are they the product of a mind under severe strain? The trial has raised new doubts, revealed potential missteps by investigators, and forced everyone in the room to confront horrifying crime scene details. It's a delicate balance of facts, emotions, and hidden motives. And as the case builds, it's becoming clear that the jury will have a monumental decision ahead of them. On day 4 of the Richard Allen trial, tensions ran high as the prosecution and defense continued to present their cases in what has become a complex and emotionally charged trial. At the heart of the day's proceedings was new evidence from Libby German's phone, enhanced video that gave the jury a clearer look at the moments just before Abby Williams and Libby were brutally murdered. For the first time, jurors saw more than the now infamous Bridge Guy clip. The extended footage revealed the girls speaking about the trail ending and interacting with an unknown man, possibly Alan, before the video abruptly cut off. The prosecution emphasized the importance of this new footage, arguing that it places Alan directly at the scene and supports the theory that he led the girls down the hill to their deaths. However, the defense worked to plant seeds of doubt, suggesting that the video alone is not enough to prove Alan's guilt. As forensic examiner Brian Bunner testified, the defense pressed him on the lack of precise GPS data from the phone, trying to poke holes in the prosecution's narrative. The confessions Alan allegedly made continue to play a central role in the trial, as the defense battles to discredit them. Alan has confessed to the murders over 60 times, but not all of his confessions align with the facts of the case. Some were bizarre, such as claiming he killed his grandchildren, a statement that raises serious questions about his mental state. The defense is building its case around the argument that Alan was not mentally stable when these admissions were made, pointing to months in solitary confinement as a factor that may have led to false or coerced confessions. In the courtroom, the jury was shown 45 pieces of evidence collected from the crime scene and Deer Creek. These included clothing items, a phone, and the controversial 40-caliber bullet allegedly tied to Alan's gun. The bullet remains one of the few physical links between Alan and the crime, but the defense has relentlessly questioned its reliability. During cross-examination, crime scene investigator Brian Oley admitted that there were only a few photos documenting the bullet's location and removal, leaving room for doubt about whether it had been contaminated or misplaced during the investigation. The girls' clothing and personal items provided more chilling details. A Nike shoe was found under Abby's body, while Libby's Harry Potter-themed phone case lay beneath her. Testimony also revealed that the girls' bodies were partially covered with sticks, leading investigators to believe someone attempted to conceal them. But the defense introduced an unsettling theory. The crime scene could have been staged. This suggestion plays into their argument that Alan may not be the killer or that someone else was involved. The emotional toll on the victims' families has been evident throughout the trial. Libby's mother cried in court as the video of her daughter's final moments played. Meanwhile, Alan sat silently, occasionally rocking and rubbing his arms, behavior the defense attributes to stress and deteriorating mental health. The prosecution, however, sees his behavior as calculated and fitting the profile of someone hiding guilt. An unexpected moment in today's proceedings came when Raylee Voorhees testified about a man she saw on the trail the day of the murders. Though she didn't interact with the girl, she recalled seeing a man dressed inappropriately for the weather, acting grumpy and distant. After seeing the Bridge Guy photo released by investigators, she recognized him as the same man she saw that day, a detail that the prosecution hopes will further connect Alan to the crime scene. Sexual assault evidence kits were also introduced, showing the meticulous steps investigators took to gather evidence from the victims' bodies. The defense, however, pointed out that none of the DNA evidence collected matched Alan, underscoring the absence of physical evidence tying him directly to the scene. This gap in forensic evidence leaves the jury with difficult questions. How much weight can be given to the bullet and the confessions if no DNA connects Alan to the girls? Throughout the day, the prosecution worked to solidify its case, focusing on Alan's confessions and the video evidence. Prosecutor Nick McClelland argued that Alan's statements contained details that only the killer would know. Yet, the defense countered, arguing that these admissions were the result of a fragile mind and did not contain specific facts about the murders. The contrast between the two narratives has become a defining feature of the trial, forcing the jury to weigh each piece of evidence carefully. As the day concluded, both sides left the courtroom knowing that this trial is far from over. The prosecution believes it has the right man and is determined to see justice served, while the defense continues to raise doubts about Alan's involvement. With more witnesses and evidence yet to be presented, it's clear that this case will remain unpredictable, with every new detail adding layers to the unfolding story. The trial of Richard Alan has brought with it not only a search for justice, but also deeper questions about mental health, memory, and the reliability of confessions. Central to the defense's case is Allen's psychological state, which they argue deteriorated drastically during his incarceration. The defense contends that the isolation and stress of solitary confinement contributed to Allen's erratic behavior and the over 60 confessions, some of which make little sense. Statements like Allen's claim of killing his grandchildren point to a troubled mind more than a criminal's admission. These psychological factors force the jury to confront a difficult dilemma. How much weight should be given to a confession if the person making it is mentally unstable? Prosecutors have built their narrative around the idea that Allen's words, spoken repeatedly to multiple people, are truthful admissions. However, the defense has framed these same words as the desperate utterances of a man under psychological duress. The court is left with the challenge of distinguishing between a genuine confession and a mind unraveling under pressure. This duality reflects one of the most complex issues in the trial, how to interpret behavior that may be both suspicious and symptomatic. Beyond the confessions, the physical evidence has become a battleground for both sides. The bullet found at the scene, a .40 caliber round matching Allen's gun, was intended to be the prosecution's smoking gun. Yet the defense has skillfully cast doubt on this evidence, suggesting it was mishandled or possibly planted. Investigator Brian Olahy's admission that there were only a few photos documenting the bullet's removal added further doubt. The absence of any DNA linking Allen to the crime scene or the girl's body strengthens the defense's argument that the investigation may have been flawed from the start. The introduction of alternative theories has also shaped the defense's strategy. They argue that the peculiar elements of the crime scene, such as the sticks placed over the girls' bodies and the swapped clothing, suggest a staged scene. Though Judge Francis Gull blocked the defense from introducing an Odinist ritual theory, the defense's subtle allusions to the possibility of an orchestrated crime remain in the jury's mind. This line of reasoning aims to shift the focus away from Allen and toward the idea that others may have been involved. The personal impact of the trial on the victims' families and the Delphi community is impossible to ignore. Libby German's family, visibly distraught during the presentation of new video evidence, reflects the emotional weight carried by those closest to the victims. As the prosecution and defense continue their battle, the courtroom is not just a place of legal argument. It is also a space where grief, anger, and hope intersect. The search for truth has become both a legal and emotional journey, leaving everyone involved to wrestle with difficult questions that may never have clear answers. As day four of the Richard Allen trial draws to a close, one thing is becoming crystal clear. This case is far from straightforward. The confessions, the newly revealed video evidence, and the emotional testimony all create a tangled web that both the prosecution and defense are fighting to control. At the heart of this trial lies a difficult truth. Even when someone says they are guilty, it doesn't always mean they are telling the whole story. Richard Allen's admissions, while shocking, are clouded by questions of mental health, pressure, and confusion. Is this a man finally coming to terms with his actions or someone unraveling under the weight of isolation? The bullet at the scene, once thought to be the key to Allen's conviction, is now a point of contention. It's a simple unfired round, and yet it carries the potential to make or break the case. But with mishandled evidence, no DNA to tie Allen to the scene, and conflicting interpretations of the crime scene itself, the path to truth is anything but clear. The defense has raised reasonable doubts about the bullet, and even more importantly, they've planted the idea that the crime scene may have been staged, raising unsettling questions about whether someone else could be involved. And then there's the video. It's haunting to hear the voices of two young girls in what would be their final moments, unknowingly capturing the presence of a man who might have taken their lives. The fact that this video exists at all is both a blessing and a curse. It brings us closer to understanding what happened, but not close enough to resolve the many unanswered questions. What the jury saw today was not just footage, it was a glimpse into the fear, confusion, and innocence that defined those final moments. This trial isn't just about evidence, it's about interpretation. It's about how we, as observers, make sense of conflicting narratives, psychological nuances, and emotional testimony. The prosecution believes they have the right man. The defense insists that the truth is more complicated. And the families of Abby Williams and Libby German sit quietly in the courtroom, hoping that this trial will bring closure after 7 long years of waiting. The jury will ultimately have to decide, does the weight of Allen's confessions, the video, and the bullet outweigh the doubts raised by the defense? Or is the truth something more elusive, something we may never fully understand? The answers won't come easily, but one thing is certain. The outcome of this trial will leave an indelible mark on the town of Delphi. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.